Welcome back to the Layman's Law School, where two country hillbilly lawyers talk about the law, issues of the day, and hopefully kind of explain to the layman out there how a lawyer thinks about the issues that are on TV, happening in the world. And we are here on a very auspicious day.
Yep.
The closing arguments are being made right now in the Johnny Depp trial. And breaking news, everybody, Johnny Depp has won this case.
Dang, I didn't know the verdict was in.
The verdict is not in, so to speak.
All right.
Okay, but that's part of what I want to talk about today, because a lot of other people...
Tell you what, this news is just... I'm sorry.
It's driven
me to drink. These are our special brew.
Okay.
From... the Depp trial.
We had these specially brewed by Anheuser-Busch.
Anheuser-Busch
in commemorative.
Commemorative cans. Bud Light Friday. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. If you got the news of who won and who lost, I needed something.
Okay, good.
Little kicker.
Yeah. Yeah. And why do I say that this case is over and Johnny Depp has won? The jury has not come back. They just finished closing arguments as we speak. On this Friday. But I say that, and I'm not the first to say this, but what I think we're seeing here in Virginia is a public relations campaign disguised as a trial. So Johnny Depp wanted to clear his name. He picked Virginia so that the stuff would be televised, and wanted to get his side out there. And from public sentiment, from what I've seen on social media, from what I'm seeing a lot about on the news and a lot of people's sort of public take on this or whatever, his goal of getting his side out there and, has been successful. And so in that respect, I think that this case is pretty much over. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's... we ask when clients come in on a car accident case, mm-hmm. what is your objective?
Right.
And it may be a contract issue, whatever, but
right.
you have to know what the client's objective is before you can mm-hmm. do your job. And I would imagine, I don't have any knowledge of this,
mm-hmm.
but I would think that Johnny Depp, his objective, I know there's a claim for money and all mm-hmm. that, but his objective was to clear his name, rightly or wrongly, but it have the public opinion,
mm-hmm.
not a court. A court can come back and say, we disagree. We believe Amber Heard 100%. But the court of public opinion has already decided this case.
That's right.
And so Johnny Depp is back.
Yeah.
In the public eye.
Yeah.
And that was the goal. Mm-hmm. And I thought he and his attorneys, mm-hmm. I should say, did that goal impeccably. It wasn't
right.
about proven damages. It mm-hmm. was purely about, look at this situation, people.
A way to compare this to where it doesn't matter in court kind of what happens. Think of the O.J. Simpson trial.
Sure.
Okay, he was acquitted of murder.
Right.
But
the public opinion,
right. mm-hmm.
he lost, all his, he was on what the, not, it's not Lethal Weapon, which was the silly one.
Oh my gosh, what a great, it's Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah.
That Naked Gun.
Naked Gun, yeah all serious. The Naked Gun
yeah, lost
stuff.
All that. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Right.
He had the luggage stuff, the Hertz. He had to jump over the luggage.
Right.
All that stuff. All that
stuff's
gone.
Gone. Right.
But he was found not guilty. And I think it's the opposite of that with Johnny. Depp is going to be, mm-hmm. he's been ostracized
mm-hmm.
for, I guess, what was it, 2015? Is that when this came about?
Six years.
Because his entire career is based on what we as the people watch.
Right. And that's what they talked about a lot in their closing, his team. They were talking about how people grew up watching 21 Jump Street.
Mm-hmm.
People grew up knowing him as Captain Jack Sparrow. And now with these accusations,
mm-hmm.
Those memories of their childhood, those memories of watching Captain Jack, all that was tainted for these people during this time, because now they see a man...
Mm-hmm.
And not Captain Jack Sparrow. That's Johnny Depp, a wife beater.
Right.
Okay. That was the problem that Johnny was trying to overcome. And how do you know that that was what Johnny's goal was? If you look at Benjamin Chu's closing, mm-hmm. He and Camila Vasquez did a very good job of laying out the case. Right. But what Benjamin Chu concentrated on was the more technical aspects of it. And he brought up, and it's very common to do, is to bring up the actual verdict form, because it's the form they're going to have to fill out in the back. And you tell them what you want them to do on that form. And there's seven...
And not to cut you off, I want you to finish, but this has to be agreed upon prior to the trial for people at home that don't understand this, or it can be during the trial, but has to be agreed upon by the defense and the plaintiff.
Right.
And if they can't, then the judge will make a ruling, and he'll cut some stuff out, and he'll change some stuff. So we may submit a jury form that says, you know, it really biased toward the plaintiff, and the judge is going to say, no way, no way.
Right.
So anyway, please, you know, it's going to be vetted in some way, I should say.
That's right. And so usually what it is it's a series of questions that the jury has to answer, and they say, what are the facts? What did the evidence show the facts to be in this particular case? And Benjamin Chu said, there's seven of them that they have to answer, but Benjamin Chu said, we don't care about any of these questions except for these three. And that was pretty telling to me, okay, because this is a $55 million, you know, defamation case.
I'm just not familiar. So there was seven that were submitted that went to the jury, or was that submitted to the judge?
No, that's seven that are actually on the jury verdict form, okay, that they have to answer in one way or the other.
Gotcha.
And he very quickly went over damages, but then he went back and refocused on these three questions. The three were the statements Amber Heard made in the op-ed about Johnny Depp, were those statements false, and whether or not those statements had a defamatory effect or caused him harm to his career. And so that tells you right there, by them focusing so much time on that and so little time on the damages, it shows you kind of what Johnny Depp's sort of goal was in this. And the lawyers did exactly what they should do and focused on achieving those goals versus, I mean, the lawyers are typically in a case like this would, in a lot of times, get a portion of whatever is recovered.
Right.
And so the lawyer has an interest here of really proving up some damages.
Yeah.
But that's not what they did.
I find something very, very interesting. I just saw this. And so nothing is done in the legal field by accident.
Right.
All right. And so these guys know what they're doing. And it was a mistake on the defense's half that they didn't admit that she was essentially the author of the op-ed. And the reason I say that is because of this jury form. When you look at it, the first question is from really the plaintiff's side that they want yes to starts with an answer that's automatically going to say yes because she admitted it on the stand.
Yep.
I had an old football coach that said, you know, when things are going good, you can keep it going good. When things are going bad, you can keep it going bad. It's hard to switch the momentum of the ball rolling up or down the hill.
That's right.
And so you got them saying yes, and it's now it's boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a common thing that happens in trial, and it's why a lot of attorneys believe, including me, that the opening is almost more important than the closing.
Sure.
Okay, because psychologists have studied this for quite some time. Attorneys have studied it with a lot, I'd say, a little more vigor and interest. But when people make decisions, especially about things like this, emotional things where it's going to affect someone else, something that's in the public eye, they actually have an emotional reaction before they have have like a logical, methodical argument set up. And so typically what that means is if you can get a person to respond emotionally to a particular point of view, a lot of times what they will do is then cherry pick evidence to support their original gut feeling or emotion about that topic.
I'm always up for a surprise. Oh my gracious alive, what do we have here, ladies and gentlemen?
Listen,
do we have here?
The layman.
Speaking to the layman
is here. I have lots of questions.
Oh well, please.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Layman's Law School has its first layman. This is
lady.
Thank you, Reed.
You sexist bigot.
You don't know how she had done it. Ladies and gentlemen, is the great, the powerful, the wonderful, and beautiful Miss Whitney O'Connor, my better half and spouse partner.
Cue clap.
There you go.
So the jury just broke for lunch.
Oh.
on the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial, and they just had closings, and they're going to have rebuttal closings, which I didn't know happened.
Well, that's why you're the layman.
Exactly. I'm so glad I came to the layman's law school.
That's right.
But yeah, no, these closings have been interesting. What have you guys been talking about?
Yeah, different stuff. You wouldn't really understand. It's pretty high level. let me ask you this. You've seen more of the stuff here going on. What'd they have for lunch?
Golly.
No,
I mean, it's important.
Well, here's some of the directions that I would not be a good juror for starters.
Yeah, we're well aware.
Because she said, do not discuss the case with each other.
Yes.
Do not look at any outside resources. And I, for 6 weeks, not allowed to discuss a case for 6 weeks. Come on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with everything you said. I'd have struck you immediately. That is
true. Her, she's out. She has a big mouth.
She's got to go.
Yeah, no. So I don't understand that.
What is your opinion of the case, and who do you think is winning the case, or won the case, or lost the case, and what do you think is going to happen?
Gosh, that's such a big question.
I know.
So I got sucked into this case because they started throwing up a bunch of therapists up there, and I'm a licensed therapist, and I was very intrigued by the different opinions of all the people that they had up there, and some of the tactics that they were using in order to assess Amber Heard,
right?
And some of the inappropriate things that some of the professionals were saying. And I'm sure you guys, if you're watching the trial, you know that they talked about the cold water rule, which you just cannot diagnose somebody without seeing them.
Right.
And so there was a little bit of that going on, and some of the tools that they used to checklist that they used to assess her, I think are probably inappropriate for the to assess the severity of the case.
Right. They're going to be ineffective because of the what I think one of the therapists for Johnny Depp's team just talked about is that when you're doing forensic type psychology, you have, because you're trying to get to the bottom of whether or not a person has a particular disorder, and they have an incentive to fake this disorder, you have to put in tests that test a person's honesty about that and whether they're exaggerating a symptom or faking a symptom. And there are certain checklists that you use and certain checklists you don't use, because some are very, very easy to fake and some are not. And I think that's one of the things she pointed out, is that the Amber Heard's experts were using ones that did nothing to test for her faking it. So that's one of the...
I didn't see much of any... Mm-hmm. But the part
you missed a really good show.
I know, but I did see something about the checklists.
Mm-hmm.
What was the deal with that when it came to, there was no answer. They were trying to say on the right side there was some other checklist. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know that there were two assessments done, one on PTSD, one on a personality disorder, borderline personality disorder, and...
I know it was Amber Heard's witness and I guess it was parts that weren't filled out, and then they were saying, oh, well, this automatic or something to that effect. And
right.
It was very strange.
Yeah, that is very strange. And those two things do share traits.
Right.
In the diagnostic manual, but on one assessment, she passed it. So to speak,
she
was not diagnosed with the personality disorder, instead with the PTSD. But one of the therapists got up there and said that automatically is ruled out because they share similar traits,
right.
And so those should be indicated on the assessments.
Right.
I got one other question. I think this is getting a little too serious, and we need to
do
get
I need
some.
A pour?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think this is the break that we take to have a drink, Chase did not bring me anything today. I'm disappointed.
You're right. I got you.
Well, you haven't even introduced it. Well, you haven't even introduced it. It's time for this. Here. It's the break of the day. So, time to introduce.
All right. I have a Dogfish Head IPA, 60-minute IPA, and I cracked it open a little early.
And I
tasted it, and I kind of didn't want to subject you to it, but by all means, enjoy.
Listen, you bought the ticket. You're going to take the ride.
All right. Sounds good.
I mean.
Wait, cheers.
Cheers.
Babe. With closing, so I just watched both of the closings, and in the first one was Depp's team, and they there was an objection during the closing, and the stream that I was watching had a bunch of other attorneys that were commenting, like the Peanut Gallery, commenting on the trial.
We can shout them out. Legal Bites.
Legal Bites.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Legal Bites. And so they all said, whoa, 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 that's frowned upon to object during a closing.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, well, why?
Chase, me or you?
Well, I can go ahead and start. Sure. And you can say, well, typically, you know, during closings and openings, unless the person is running way afoul of the rules, you allow them through because you, in a lot of cases, you want to let them, or you want them to let you actually be able to make your case, because it is the one time in the court where you can be a bit freewheeling with the way in which you describe the case to the jury. Because before, if you remember in the opening, they always start their statements with "the evidence will show."
Yes.
Right. And the point of that is the evidence has not been put in yet, right? And you're not even allowed to argue during the opening or any time really during the case what should be inferred. In other words, what you should do because of the evidence that's going to that's going to come into the case. And it's in part done that way because you don't know what evidence is going to come in, right? What is going to be excluded? What is, and that, a great example of that is Amber Heard on the stand talking about the stairwell incident with Kate Moss, right? Well, that was heavily litigated before the trial ever started, that past acts like that could not be brought up. Okay. Well, she, what they call, opened the door. When she said that, now he can bring up a rebuttal witness. He can talk about other, past it. Right.
Excellent.
Well, I'm just saying. So, and in the closing, what you do is you take all the evidence that has been admitted, and then the lawyer actually tells the jury how they should reason and what they should actually conclude about the evidence that they are seeing. It's almost like a gentleman's agreement that you try not to just interrupt.
Well,
that's one answer.
Yep.
Give you the second part.
Okay.
Second part is, if I say something outlandish, something I would never.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but if I say something, but let's say it goes to the heart of the issue at the case, and the person goes, objection, rah, 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 then they give their argument and they fight, and if they lose that objection, the jury goes, that shit must have been really important.
And then you get to say it again.
And then you get to say it. And if you lose, if the other side wins the objection and you lose, the jury still goes, I heard it. And the judge will say, y'all disregard that. The jury still goes, well, shit, that must be important. They're fighting over that. I heard it.
Yeah.
And so you just help the other side. So it's twofold. You don't really want to do it like Chase said. That is true. It's a gentleman's agreement. Like, you know, you don't want to cross too much. And then the objection also hurts you because it helps the other side, because whether you win or lose the objection, the jury's, they've been listening so long, they're tired of this crap. And now, oh, it was something important.
Yeah,
something
important. Let me tune something in. Important. They just put a highlighter over the word that you just used.
Well, and that's exactly what happened, Reed.
And, and let me also point this out. It comes back to you, Whit. Comes right back. Full circle.
Oh, God.
The famous Mr. Vic Hawk told you one time.
You got to dance on the line.
You got to dance on the line, baby. You got to dance on the line. And when Chase was trying the case, what did he tell you? My boy's dancing. My boy's dancing. And so that is the key, though. Where is that line? You know, and so that is the situation. That's what the Amber Heard attorney messed up. They should have let that line go a little bit. They should have let it go.
Yeah, because they lost that objection. And in the Heard's closing, their counsel, they were objected. I lost count, y'all. Mm-hmm. I think it was like five times. Mm-hmm. And then the peanut gallery was that I was listening to was like, oh, whoa, the judge might offer or imperial.
I'm pretty sure that's the wrong word.
Hang on, let me look at my notes because I did take notes. Hang on.
I'm thinking that it might have to do with like a corrective instruction.
Right.
Okay, and so like,
I know, but it may have been
in a situation.
Maybe a Latin word or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably what.
Well,
it is.
There are situations in which the curative instruction. How about that? Maybe that.
Yes, curative. I was in the other room. Okay. And
that's
I
why
heard,
he's here. That's
right.
Why he's here.
I was in the other room.
So what happens in those situations is when something that everybody or the judge recognizes has been improper has occurred, something that was said, they have to do what they call a curative instruction, all right, in order to keep the trial transcript clear. So let's say, for instance, the person said a name of who leaked it to TMZ, and that was agreed upon that was not to be considered, the judge will go back to the jury and say, you are to disregard that. That is not to come in and weigh it in at all into your verdict and your deliberations at all. If it is, you need to report it. You know,
if you don't do that, mm-hmm. even if you win, then it gets appealed and you lose, and mm-hmm. it's not even on the right thing.
Right. Yeah. And so, like, so because that improper thing happened, that is a ground for appeal. And what the judge was trying to do was do what the judge could in order to correct the wrong thing. Correct the record so that there could be no appeal on that particular small issue. And you definitely want to try and do that in a case where you have to try 6 weeks. You don't want to redo this. This cost the state of Virginia hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in order
millions.
To try.
Definitely millions.
I mean, they objected at least five times, and it was because she was continuing to comment on a testimony that wasn't completely accurate.
Understood.
And it was from mm-hmm. her perspective and sure. not the what was in the transcript. And so they objected, and I was like, what is going on? So
right.
That leads to a good point, Chase,
mm-hmm.
is as attorneys, mm-hmm. I think me and you both have a lot of sympathy mm-hmm. for Amber Heard's attorneys.
We do.
And I don't think the general public does. They look at them as idiots. They're mm-hmm. not idiots.
Right.
These guys are very, and gals are very, very intelligent. They've done their homework. They're great trial lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
But, Chase, what happens when you get the facts that you got?
Uh-huh.
And the client that you got.
Mm-hmm.
And clients aren't always truthful to their attorneys. We know
that's
that.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, and that's it can true. Make you look like a fool when you've asked a question
mm-hmm.
that your client says, without a doubt, this is it. And we've talked on other podcasts mm-hmm. about you never ask the question that you don't know the answer to. If you've built a trust
mm-hmm.
with this client mm-hmm. that pulls the wool over your mm-hmm. eyes, and she says, without a doubt, this question is going to be answered yes. And you mm-hmm. ask it, and they say no.
Mm-hmm.
You look like a fool. But what can you do?
Right. As a lawyer, you can only sort of do so much with the facts that you're given and with the client that you're given. And so these guys have a difficult client. They have a client that apparently they've modified some pictures. There's evidence of the person not looking beat up and saying that they got hit with a handful of rings the day before. Those are difficult facts to try to argue around. And so while they look kind of silly, it's not necessarily because these people are silly lawyers, bad lawyers. It's because the person's take on how this occurred is a little bit off. And a good example is what I just talked about having a difficult client. And these lawyers work very, very hard to keep out past acts by Johnny Depp. They work very hard to keep out past behavior from Amber Heard. Why? Because there have been allegations Amber Heard had hit her last female
partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Well, and they knew for a fact that the rumor about Kate Moss had been repeatedly denied, and they knew based on statements that had been taken before the trial that Kate Moss said that it didn't happen, and then they knew that was going to get brought out. So now we can show that Johnny doesn't have a history of this, and people have assumed this before, and it's been shown to be not true that he's not they wanted that evidence out. They were successful in keeping it out.
They showed what they did before
yeah.
the trial
right, that's right, and they kept all that out. But then Amber got on the stand
yep.
And she, through her testimony, I promise you, they had coached her not to do that, right? That's why you saw Benjamin Chu as soon as she said Johnny Depp. And I remember the Kate Moss thing. You saw Benjamin, Johnny's lawyer, pump his fist and turn around because he knew what that did. And so that right there just created another obstacle that those lawyers had nothing to do with.
You know, you'll see in this 7-second world we live in, little clips of just stupid questions or and even the objection. We talked about it the last time, so we won't get into it. But from the Heard side, that, these lawyers are just idiots. Some of these things you have to ask because you have to eliminate them to make sure they're not on the jury form and to get to the heart of the issue. Mm-hmm. So there's questions that me and Chase ask every single day that we know the answer to. We know it's dumb, but you have to clear it.
That.
You have to, because if you don't, it might be brought up later.
So this is a 6-week trial. You guys are used to dealing with probably a few days to a week trials. Mm-hmm, would that be accurate?
Yeah.
So with an opening and closing, I know the great Victor Hawk says that the opening is more important than the closing.
Mm-hmm.
But with a 6-week trial,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I would have, as a juror, I would have done forgot about the closing. So would you say it's more important?
I mean the opening, excuse me.
You offered your opinions on the opening, and I agree with them.
Mm-hmm.
It still goes back to the same argument that Chase talked about earlier with the opening. Yeah, it's 6 weeks. You've forgotten everything. But that actually helps because if you have them on your side in the opening,
right,
and they've forgotten everything, they hadn't forgot that they were on your side. Mm-hmm. They've just forgotten all the other crap.
Right.
So you're not switching anybody's mind in the closing. You're giving them power to go argue your argument in the jury room.
Mm-hmm. That's right. What you want to do is give the people that are on your side, give them a PowerPoint.
That's all you're doing.
To take in there with the other people.
Because they're already, you're not switching them.
You're trying to give them, you're trying to give them the best argument to convince those people that are holdouts. And that's all there is to it. You're reminding them of the evidence that's in their favor, and you're anticipating the arguments on the other side and giving answers to those arguments. So, if there's one instance of abuse is what Rottenborn was talking about, then you have to find in favor of Amber Heard. Well, they went through and showed that there's never been any sort of allegation against Johnny for any sort of abuse with anybody, and she can be shown to be a liar in all these situations. These pictures, they pointed to the pictures, all that stuff. All right, so we've talked about the lawyers too, but let's talk about Amber a little bit because I feel a little. I want to say I feel bad for her. You know, we talked about it earlier. It's like Johnny.
I know, that's a bold statement.
I personally think Johnny Depp has beaten Amber, but he just did it for 6 weeks in court.
Yeah.
Oh, but on bang,
right? So I do have some sympathy.
If you want corny jokes, Lord.
I'm full of them. But no, the thing I sort of feel bad about is, and what we have to remember is that this is a couple, and everybody's had this experience where you have a nasty breakup, the relationship is tumultuous and difficult, and Johnny's done things he's not proud of. Johnny's not innocent in this whole thing at all. He created a terrible situation for a woman where he was definitely an out of control drug abuser during their marriage. That is not a nice environment to be in, right? But she's no angel either. But it doesn't justify making up lies to hurt his career, right? But this is a mistake that a woman made, that she's off. She's obviously hit him. She's obviously done whatever. She hasn't committed a crime here with these statements. She's not, going around and physically hitting people, shooting people,
right,
robbing banks, anything like that. And this woman's getting death threats on a daily basis. And I think we need to really put in perspective what's going on here. Johnny Depp is going to be fine, everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
I agree 100% on the fact that, I've watched a decent amount of it, seen it, and I think that Johnny Depp deserves to be, in my opinion, from what I've seen, cleared of, the abuse and all that crap. But Johnny Depp still has done some bad stuff in the relationship.
Inappropriate.
Yeah. I think everybody can agree with that. I can see how a partner gets like, hey, I've told you this and I'm frustrated with it, and it leads to, that's how domestic violence happens. Mm-hmm. It doesn't start from day one.
Right.
It starts, I mean, or starts from at the end. At the end, it starts from the beginning where it just goes and goes and goes
builds and
goes
and, builds.
And, goes,
yeah.
and goes and goes and then
yeah. at the end. She is a human being.
This is a movie star stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have any effect on the real world.
Right.
This is just, you're watching it for entertainment. Honestly,
yeah.
Yep. I mean, this is essentially the Kardashians, but it's just happening in court. So everybody does stupid stuff, and you know, especially when you have a couple in love and you fall out of love.
What did you feel like you learned by watching the trial about the law, about this process?
That words are very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
How you say things, mm-hmm. when you say things, what you say things. I listened to y'all's last podcast, or maybe mm-hmm. it was the podcast before, and Reed, you were talking about how important it is to,
every
like,
word.
Words, every single
every
word.
Every word.
Every mm-hmm. single word, and that's what I'm realizing mm-hmm. in this case, is mm-hmm. that people are constantly getting quoted.
Mm-hmm.
People are constantly, like, reminding everybody of what was said, when it was said, all those specifics,
mm-hmm.
and it's so important to get the timeline
mm-hmm.
down.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, I'm like, God, they're asking the same questions mm-hmm. in different ways mm-hmm. over and over again.
to repeat.
And I'm like, this is annoying.
But it's to,
but it's to yeah. It's
reinforce. Yeah. This
yes.
is what happened. This is
what's going mm-hmm. on. And I found it very interesting, the rebuttal witnesses mm-hmm. that were coming after, you know, certain testimonies to, you know, correct some things or ask questions or, you know, whatever.
It honestly, and Chase, I mean, it's real life, but it's a play. I mean, that's mm-hmm. how the whole courtroom is. The majority of things, I know people love it, and I do too, but majority of things are outside of the courtroom.
Right.
Yeah, so the mm-hmm. in the courtroom, it is a production.
Right.
And it is. And so, but Chase, you know, the you get all the rules, and everybody thinks the rules are the same, but no, every case, the rules are different.
Mm-hmm.
You get your rules,
mm-hmm.
and then you get a little time, not much, but you've got to prepare for all the rules, but then you get them narrowed down to a certain amount of rules, and then you go in, and you have to perform. That's what it is.
Yeah,
that's
what mm-hmm. it and there's is. A lot of pressure on both sides.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. When you're in this situation, and cameras mm-hmm. on you, and making sure you got your points, and all that kind mm-hmm. of stuff, and just watching the lawyers work.
Yeah.
That was very interesting. I kind of want to be Camille Vasquez when I grow up.
Chase, I'll tell you this. This is something that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Is if we try a case, so you don't try it alone.
Mm-mm.
Because and if you watch this, you'll see constantly the person that has their brain rolling with asking questions or they're crossing or whatever or making the objections. They have one thing in mind. So you have to have another attorney that can listen for the other parts.
Yes, mm-hmm.
and
I noticed
can,
that.
They can say, hey, mm-hmm. we missed this or we should have done this, mm-hmm. and then you can correct it. But you can't do both at the same time.
Right.
You can't do it.
Yeah, and I think that Johnny Depp's team was very thoughtful in the way in which they proceeded with this whole trial in
yep.
that, I don't know if you guys noticed, but the person that attacked Amber Heard was Miss Fast
was
a female.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have a male. You didn't have Ben Chu, who is arguably probably the Godzilla of plaintiff's
well,
attorney.
And
I think
that she would admit that he's a more experienced attorney.
Absolutely, but the way in which it would be viewed, you needed to go after Amber Heard to push her, to get her angry, to make her make mistakes, and a woman could push her, a woman could beat, you know, get up there and verbally beat her up, and it'd be okay, right? And then
but
that same thing happened.
A man
yeah.
does that, and the jury
and
goes...
gets turned off to it.
Especially mm-hmm. in this trial when you're yeah. talking about a man
right.
versus a woman.
Right, right. Right.
So yep. that was not by accident. Like
no.
you said earlier in the show,
mm.
nothing is by accident.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
was planned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you talked earlier, too, about how the rules change. So, like, I want to give the viewers out there, like, an idea of how this would work. So just imagine basketball, right? And before you actually get to play the game, right, based on, and this is usually has to do with evidence, right, the way evidence can, either leverage can come in or it can't come in based on different aspects about it, whatever it is, but the judge has got a rule on it, and how that affects the game might be very, very serious. For instance, it might be like, well, Amber Heard's team, they can only shoot from behind the 3-point line. A ruling might change the game that much mm-hmm. in that situation. Or like when she came in and said, you know, you know, all I remembered was the Kate Moss thing going down the stairs. That means technical foul. Johnny Depp's team gets 15 shots from the free throw line.
Yeah.
That I mean, that's how the rules, they can change in the moment. The judge, they have what they call a motion in limine to start out with, and that the judge decides what evidence can and can't be used during the trial, and they work out what would have to happen in order for the things that were excluded to come in. And then when the things happen during the trial, the rules change automatically in the way in which they've and that's exactly what happened in that particular case. And so that's why trial attorney, you have to be able to adjust, shoot from the hip, and sort of roll with those different rule changes, like in the moment.
And on
it's
top
hard.
Of that, Jay, so you're talking about essentially what happens at the end and it changes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for the people that aren't lawyers out there, and why it takes us so long to prepare a case
yes.
is because we don't know those rules until. What do you get? A week,
2 weeks prior,
maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's the essential rules. But you better plan your case for every rule possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start out here, mm-hmm. and then a week before, it goes to here.
Yeah.
Now, mm-hmm. also, during the trial, like mm-hmm. you just pointed out, it may go here, but it mm-hmm. may go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So you better have a plan for mm-hmm. all those routes. And
so
if
it's
you don't,
literally like a playbook that mm-hmm. you have to have a
absolutely.
Playbook for every single thing.
Absolutely.
And you just pick that. Okay, well that mm-hmm. happens. So now,
so
I
now
pick
we're
this.
Going this theme,
right?
And if this door gets open, we're going to have to transition into this other theme.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, you guys do a lot of work.
Well, but you know, you see the show, and you see the show. I say the
yeah,
trial,
right?
Mm-hmm. You don't see that
sure.
because that's out, and the jury doesn't see that because they can't hear that stuff,
right?
It's all outside.
But it's also why it took this many years for
absolutely.
This case to come before anybody, because they were collecting evidence, fighting about what could be introduced, fighting about what, you know, witnesses they could depose and find, and it has to be investigated. And you know, the fact that this witness said X means that a TMZ reporter now can be called. Those are all things that have to be thoughtfully vetted prior to actually getting in that courtroom.
So one of the lawyers in the peanut gallery of the stream I was listening to said, oh, we're going to hear a verdict today. Like, mm-hmm. we're going to hear a verdict today. Whereas I don't think so either. But the judge was given instructions on this might go till Tuesday, and like literally gave them a schedule till Tuesday.
Mm.
And so I'm thinking the same. I just feel like there's mm-hmm. just too much to go through. Even if you've already made up your mind, you still want to do your.
How long would it take?
Well, that's you.
These people.
You.
I'm not necessarily just talking for
well,
for
I'll
me.
Well, I'll say this.
Usually
when it's quick,
uh-huh.
it is. It depends on the type of case. But when it's quick, it is a bad sign for the
defense.
Usually.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's a criminal case.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that with the number of questions, and the
mm-hmm.
Even if they agree with the questions, they're going to have mm-hmm. to determine an amount. Now, I'm not sure with Virginia law, they're not doing an amount?
They are.
Okay. So that's going to... Even if everybody says, yeah, he owes some money, mm-hmm. it's going to take some time to decide what amount that is. And people are going to have strong opinions about money because they got different
socioeconomic classes
yeah. in there. Thank you,
uh-huh.
Chase.
Uh-huh.
And so a dollar means something different to every person in that jury.
Right.
And that's the fight, even if they agree on everything else. And that's why I think I'll be right and you'll be wrong.
Okay.
So y'all are disagreeing on this.
Yeah. Well,
wow. Okay.
All right. Welcome to the war room.
Can we have a wager?
Oh, yeah.
I got 20 on it.
20? Okay.
I will not be a part of any sort of illegal gambling.
God.
If they decide for Johnny, which I think that they will, they're going to go back there, and what everybody's going to do is vote right away. What do y'all think about this? Everybody raise their hand. If they don't have anything to argue about on those three questions, right? The only thing to argue about then is money. And Chu has already said he doesn't care. And I don't think they gave him a range. They didn't say, hey, we want 55. We want you to return a verdict for X. They said, we want you to clear his name. We want his reputation back, and they're going to do that. And if the jury doesn't care about money, or if the Johnny doesn't care about money, the jury might just say, here's $1 million, you know, go
well,
ahead.
That's
still going to, money always causes a fight. Always. Yeah. They're going to agree. And even they, oh, that you just said it. They, he doesn't care about money. Well, maybe he does. Maybe what did he lose? What did he lose? He doesn't care about money. Yes, he does care about money. He lost all this money. They just presented it in trial. His attorney don't care about money.
I think that's the fight.
Well, it's gonna happen.
This is why you should have watched a little bit more of this, because the one thing that you can definitively say just about Johnny Depp is he doesn't value money very much.
And this
is
one of the most. You want to give him more money,
generous
more money.
Human beings.
Yeah.
I have
why
ever
would
seen?
You not want yeah. him to get more money if he's generous? He's gonna give it away to charities and stuff. Amber Heard ain't gonna do nothing but shit on it. I mean, I'm making arguments left and right.
Right.
This is a jury room. I'm
right.
talking
about. Well, and I also I
we're in the jury
all right. So the judge always says don't discuss the case before deliberations. The judge says don't look at any outside information. And the practical reality of it is that none of that stuff happens.
Okay.
They discuss it with their families. They discuss it with each other. They'll get in trouble if they get caught. Yeah. They'll get trouble if they get caught researching stuff. But there's stuff that happens with all of that. And so there's a lot of stuff that's already, like, in their minds. They've already made a bunch of. So that's why I don't think it'll take too long. There might be one or two holdouts that they have to just work on for
a couple hours.
I'll
see you next Thursday.
All right. All right. Well, that's it. We'll see.
Can they come back with something less?
Absolutely. They can come back with whatever they want.
So they're not. It's not like I have to check $50 million or $100 million. Mm-hmm. I can come back with, well, we agree with Depp's side. But
disagree on the damages.
But we disagree on the damages,
right.
So here's $20 million.
That's right. So
that can happen.
Yes, because they have to decide a couple of things. What the facts are. The law is already decided, but what the facts are is what they have to decide. Was it about him? That's a fact, whether it was or wasn't. They get to decide that. Amber doesn't get to decide it. Johnny doesn't get to decide it. The jury gets to decide. In a court of law in this country, was it about him? Were they false? The jury gets to decide that. Was it defamatory? Jury gets to decide whether or not. And then they get to decide. Johnny says, like, they damaged me to the tune of this amount of money. The jury gets to decide, and it's left to the enlightened conscience of the jury. How much they believe Johnny proved his case and that he lost because of this. And so they could say, I think he lost $1,000, and that he'd be held to that. And there are certain exceptions to that where with no reasonable jury, and the judge can come back in and do additor or remittitor, take money away, add money to, but it's very rare. But some of the other interesting things in the case that you can talk about here, and it's important for the public to know, is the burdens of proof. And everybody hears beyond a reasonable doubt, preponderance of the evidence, clear and convincing. And in this case, we had a mix, okay, and unusually, because in most civil cases, you have just a preponderance of evidence. What does that mean? Preponderance of evidence means I have a little bit more evidence than you. You've seen that scales of justice. All I got to do is tip that scale ever so slightly in my favor, right, in order to win, Johnny, okay? He just has to have a little bit more evidence than her for the jury to say, all right, if he has a little bit more evidence that he's right, he should win on that issue. Clear and convincing is almost, you'd imagine it being like you have to get to the 75, you have to get 75 yards. If you're playing football, you're trying to get to the end zone, you have to get to the opponent's 25-yard line with evidence. You have to have 75% versus 25. That's a good example. And that, in this case, that related to whether or not she said these things with malice. He is a public figure, and there's special rules about defamation for that. And, of course, the beyond a reasonable doubt, that's the hardest one to describe, but it is basically as close to like 100% certain that, that one side is right, one side's wrong, versus the other. And that's the criminal standard and doesn't have anything to do with this case.
Well, how do y'all think the judge did in this?
I actually think the judge did fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it was a circus. I mean, everybody knows Judge Ito, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, Judge Ito was everywhere. He was making all kind of crazy things and crazy. I don't even know this judge's name. And that's that's what she should be. She's the umpire. Mm-hmm. You don't need to know the umpire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what another thing that people need to learn is the judge's role in this whole thing. Like I said, we're talking about the rules. They're supposed to interpret the law and decide the rules of the game. And imagine these two are two basketball teams.
Then you call the fouls.
That's right. She calls the fouls. She calls the balls and strikes. She is not going to render a verdict in this. She's not going to come in typically and say anything. And you saw those things they call motions to strike, and you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah, those that was very
there are some very unusual cases, frivolous cases, in which when one side doesn't present any evidence whatsoever that could prove their case that a jury could look at, the judge can, in certain circumstances, not waste the time of the court. And it gives them discretion to kind of kick the case out at a particular time once they presented their case in chief and they haven't produced any evidence that a jury could rely on. They can move for a motion to strike or in Georgia directed verdict, and the judge can rule in their favor, but it's very rarely done. The judge likes to have the jury, in almost every case, decide the facts of the case, and so they almost always deny them like they did in this case. It was close, but... You know, I wouldn't have wanted to do that in this case either. Well, guys and ladies, congratulations on another good podcast. Congratulations to Mr. Depp and his team.
Relative.
And y'all have a good weekend.